This is the Rare Witch Roundtable, Episode 1, from March 21st, 2009. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the first episode of the Rare Witch Roundtable. I'm your host, Andre, and I'm with three other moderators on the Rare Witch Project. We have Bottles98, Larry Keller, and Virginia Beach.
Hey there.
Gaming Master 2K, Kelvin in Australia.
G'day, mates.
And, of course, the ever-elusive Grey Jinjo, Rich Henry, in Rochester, New York.
Hey.
All right, guys, so this is obviously the first official Rare Witch podcast, and this is our first episode, so just going to run you through some quick things. We're going to try and do this in a weekly format, so every week we'll come up here, talk about Rare, video games, and, well, whatever the hell is we want to talk about, because we're pretty random people. We'll move to the news now. Our number three news story, game developer Big Huge Games is closing down within 60 days if THQ cannot find a buyer in the near future, according to a news article by Kotaku. It's interesting because the Banjo composer, amongst many other games, Grant Kurfoff, is... sorry, that name is very confusing, and we've gone through this three times now, so everyone listening... He just has to deal with it if you're listening. Anyway, he left Rare to work there as audio director, and obviously the future of the composer is pretty uncertain, but he's obviously pretty important in the Banjo world, so we wish him luck. Yeah. Any comments?
I've been pretty worried, to be honest. He said he's gonna be kicked out of the U.S. if he can't find a job soon.
Yeah, Calvin, did you have something to say?
I was just going to say, yeah, did you see his blog where 58 days and it's closed down, 68 days he's out of the country.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I guess, do we remember why did he leave Rare exactly? Did he quit or get fired? I think he resigned, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's definitely not a good move necessarily, but it's obviously tough.
Personally... Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to see someone do a news story on like the status of Big Huge Games, because it says that everyone will keep their jobs if they find a buyer within the next 68 days, but there's really no elaboration on that. Like, is anyone even considering buying Big Huge Games? Does anyone know?
I haven't seen anything further on it.
Yeah, I don't know. According to THQ, apparently lost $191.8 million last quarter, so... Clearly, they're struggling. I didn't know that. Oh, apparently, they made Rise of Nations. It's too bad. I guess it's a tough time for all game developers. I mean, Ensemble just broke up, even though they made the Halo Wars, which sold over 1 million copies now. I mean, that's obviously successful. So, I guess it's just, you know, struggling in general. Alright, moving on. Banjo-Tooie for the Xbox Live Arcade, the achievements have been revealed, although we still don't know the release date. So I'll go through a couple of them here. Knocked Out Klungo. I mean, 20 gamer score for beating Klungo three times. It's just me. I mean, that just seems like something you do going through the game. I mean, you only have to beat him once. So you do that in the first 10 minutes of the game. Whatever. Treasure Hunt. I guess that's... By the icon, it looks like a Jinjo. Collecting a Jinjo.
I think it's collect one of each item, because it's got an egg, a note, and a feather on there, too.
Yeah. Again, seems pretty easy. All beaten up. Kill 20 bad guys with... Let's see. There are three attacks. Mumbo's Wand, your pants attack, or the Daddy T-Rex. Okay. A few of them are just... They're simple, I mean...
Read the one about hatching an egg at Heggies, or whatever that said.
Hatch the future. Separate our heroes for the first time, or hatch a stop-and-swap egg.
Yeah, that one is probably my biggest problem with the list. It just seems a little bit random to me. It's like beat Terry the Pterodactyl or slide down the side of Cauldron Keep.
Oh, right. That is very random.
No connection between the two moves.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's not really this isn't really that surprising. I mean, does anybody really expect them to be tough? I mean, the Banjo-Kazooie ones were so easy anyway.
Also, it seems that you get more for beating Klungo than you do for beating Grunty. I'm not sure if the scores here are just mismatched or...
Maybe. I mean, what exactly is the source on this? I mean, I know it's Xbox 360 achievements, but how did they get that? Did they just post them? Like, I'm looking on their site and I can't find any reasoning. So
they have the images, so they obviously pulled them from somewhere.
I guess that's true, but I wonder how they got it. It's very random.
Microsoft did allow some community access to some of their servers to get some more information. Maybe Xbox 360 achievements have access to that, and they're already up there.
I guess so.
Another problem with that list is it doesn't even really seem that distributed. Like, there's the Stony achievement and the Saberman achievement, both from Hellfire Peaks, but there's some levels that you don't get any points. And I think you can get a couple of them in Jolly Roger's Lagoon, too, so it doesn't even seem like they're really distributed evenly.
Well, I'm looking at the thread, and it seems like the public opinion seems to be they're nice, but they seem to be just too easy, you know? Yeah. Can't wait to see when it comes out. I mean, come on. I guess, what did they say? April, I thought? Late April?
Yep. Yeah. Larry has a theory on that.
What's your theory?
Well, they've got all the like the next 6 weeks, the release schedule for that has already been released, and so the only late April date remaining is April 29th. So I'm assuming that's when it's going to be released.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. They released the whatever they called it, Weeks of Arcade, which I guess I don't know what that really means. I mean, haven't there been weeks of arcade for years? Like,
right. It's kind of like the summer special. It's kind of a backslap to the other games to say, hey, the next five that are coming out are better than all of the ones we've released up till now.
Well, that, and you know, I don't know if you guys paid attention, but the latest game release was the Hasbro Family Game Night or whatever. It's like Scrabble and Sorry and all those types of games. And I was actually really interested in it because that sounds like a great idea for like 800, even 1,200 points. I mean, that sounds reasonable to me. But then I looked on, you know, they released the games, and they're 800 for each individual game. And they have six of them. So it's essentially charging $60 for five games that I could go to Toys R Us and buy for $3. I mean, it just seems like the pricing is just absolutely insane now.
Ever since, like, Braid and that and Castle Crashers, that 1 week was the downfall of the Xbox Live Arcade pricing scheme.
Yeah. I'm amazed that Peggle was only 800, but we'll get to that later, I suppose. Okay, moving on. Our final news story. Nuts and Bolts, Logs, Lost Challenges, DLC coming. I know this is rather old, but definitely interesting to talk about. Rare posted an update on their news page announcing downloadable content that's going to hit the marketplace eventually. We don't know exactly when. Details are thin, and that's saying the least. They're absolutely non-existent. Pretty much, we don't know anything. They said as soon as next week, but that was 3 weeks ago about, so I guess not. So I guess, what do you guys think is going to be in it, exactly?
I was hoping for a new world.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's going to be a new area.
I don't know.
Maybe some new parts.
Personally, I don't see there being a new world. I think the fact that it's called Log Secret Challenges tells us that there's not going to be a new world, because I just think that would be part of their, like, selling point, almost, like, to get people interested in it. It would be Log's New World or something. I would think, if they're going to give us a new world, I don't think they would just call it challenges.
Yeah, and I guess it's just like, I mean, where? How would that work exactly? It seems like adding an entire new world would be such a massive change to the game, just the way it's laid out. I mean, I'm thinking, where else would it go exactly? Maybe you could build it like an underwater type of thing, or I don't know. It just seems like for DLC, that seems too major.
I guess it's really no different than like full Halo maps or something, though, if you think about it that way.
Yeah, but a Halo map, you just kind of you throw it in there. It's a multiplayer game. I mean,
well, you would use one door. You could use the lighthouse or any of those places by the bingo place.
Yeah, I suppose. It just seems like that'd be so much work.
The seaside could be used because they dropped the sixth world that was supposed to be there.
Yeah, the Wild West or whatever. But
Weird
I
West.
Believe they... Yeah, Weird West, excuse me. But I believe they said that that wasn't going in for sure. The other idea, of course, is new moves for Banjo, but I think that's just people that want the game to be something different.
Yeah, that's extreme optimism.
To say, yeah, the least. I think we probably will be getting some new vehicle parts. I mean, that's almost expected, isn't it?
Caterpillar
almost necessary.
Wheels. Kind of bothers me, though, because we did see that one trailer with the Caterpillar wheels already in it. So if that's in the DLC, that's going to lead me to believe that they took it out in the first place because we've already seen it in action. And that's somewhat frustrating to go out and purchase a game and know that there's something in there and then it's released later in time.
Well,
I assume the Caterpillar wheels were like just a beta design for the high grip wheels.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, there are so many examples of games that have completed things that they hold to be downloadable content. I mean, just an example, I mean, there's Katamari did that. They came out with a game and charged for DLC the day of. But the one I'm thinking of now, I mean, I got the limited edition of Halo Wars because I'm stupid. And, I got it. Great game, whatever. Point is, it has the Halo 3 Mythic map packs in the game. Great maps, blah, blah, blah. Point is that they don't have a release date announced yet, and it's expected that they won't be coming out for months at the most. So I'm already playing the maps, but somebody else who has Halo 3 can't, and they're clearly out, so it's just a matter of enabling it. I don't get when game developers do that.
Yeah, and it's almost bribing at this point. Like, hey, you want the maps, buy our other game.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, we don't know if this will be charged for or not. So, do you guys think it will be?
Given the trend, probably. It'll probably be charged for it first, and then eventually it'll become free.
George K. pointed out that there's also going to be some free goodies alongside it, so I'm assuming that the main downloadable content is going to be for pay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how much do you reckon it's going to go for? Many points? Do you reckon... I mean, I suppose it depends on what's in there. We don't really know enough to say how much.
I don't know. If it's, I could see them charging as much as like 800 points for it. I think that's definitely possible.
By the way, my last comment was about the Mythic map pack. I didn't know that we were switching back over to Banjo.
Oh yeah, that was just... Alright, well that makes more sense. And no, I know, it's just... It seems odd that there's such a... Like, it used to be the maps would come out, the Halo maps would come out, and they would be charged for, and then months later you could get them for free. But now, if I went out and played Halo 3 without having Halo Wars, I wouldn't be able to buy the map packs. Can't even play them unless you have Halo Wars, the limited edition. So, that, to me, seems odd.
Yeah, that's a scam, pretty much.
It works because I paid for it. Whatever. Okay, moving on to the Forum Watch segment, where we'll pick certain topics for us to discuss in the show, out of the forums, of course. We'll start with bottles. What's your thread?
My thread is the bottles glasses thread, and what it is it's a model viewer for Banjo-Kazooie by forum member Cool is Cool. And it's pretty interesting. He's trying to add support for editing and such.
So what exactly, let's just say for me, I mean, I'm someone who just played the Banjo games. I don't really care about models. What exactly is it going to do for me?
Probably not a lot.
Well, I mean, like, all right. Like, for example, what's an example of something that people have been doing? Is it just taking the models out of the game and bringing them on the computer?
It doesn't have that. Well, it doesn't have the functionality yet to export them to a format usable by something else. But there have been some unused models found, I believe.
Oh, that's always interesting.
That's about all I can think of, though.
Anything that, you know, anything unused equals stop and swap.
OMG.
Yeah. All right. Kelvin, what's your thread?
Be Suspicious, started by Iron Crew 34 back in on the 18th of March, Australian time.
And 17th, everyone else, normal people.
Well, it was nearly 4 o'clock in the afternoon here, so I'm assuming most of these normal people would have gone to the proper day.
That's true, I guess. But yeah, being California, it's 17th. Continue.
Anyway, yeah, they're discussing April Fool's Day, which is fast approaching.
Yes, everybody needs to watch out.
Gonna get yes, you.
Yes, and we'll have a nice evil plan for them, or have we already started putting it in place?
I believe we have. I mean, how do we know that the show isn't part of our plan?
I just want to clear something up, too. Some people thought that that little staged fight between me, Mandy, and Ice, and then at the end, towards the end, Bottles came in on it, was leading up to some type of April Fool's joke, and I just want to make it clear that that was a one-time thing. It wasn't like a build-up or something extended that's carrying over.
Wait, I missed that. What was that?
I don't know. That wasn't even really the plan. What was supposed to happen was we were going to go around the forum and flip, like, good cop, bad cop. She was going to say something, like, either mean, and then I was going to come in and say something nice, or I was going to say something nice, and she was going to come in and say something mean. And we were supposed to do that from thread to thread. So we did on the first one, and I said something nice. I gave Fire Elfo a break. And then she came in, and she bashed me. And I sent a message on AIM. I'm like, well, now that you said that, I want to bash you. So then I typed something back in the thread. And then we just kept going back and forth, and I guess Ice looked over her shoulder or something, and he's like, and Mandy said he started laughing, and he said he wanted to get in on it, so then he came in and started making fun of both of us. It just kind of spiraled out of control at that point.
Wait, you were on AIM? I find that hard to believe. Alright, moving on. Gray, your thread.
The thread I picked was the grown-up Dora the Explorer doll. It was about whatever company makes Dora the Explorer, I'm not sure right now, is releasing a doll version of her, but it's not like her current version, not her kid version, it's a grown-up version. Well, not completely grown-up, I guess a tween version. And before they actually revealed the design, they just revealed a silhouette of it, and it wasn't really clear. It made it look like she was wearing a miniskirt, and like she was really trashy, I guess, in comparison to a normal teen. So I guess parents were flipping out, and people on the project were saying about how she looks like a slut now and how and stuff like that. And then towards the end of the thread, when they actually revealed the full design, everyone like kind of flipped their opinion. Everyone's saying about how it's cute now. I just thought it was funny watching the thread, I guess, like evolve over a six-day time from, wow, what a tramp, to, oh, how adorable, I'm buying one for my daughter.
That's kind of creepy, actually, now that I'm looking at it. Why me talking about condoms? My thread is in the Xbox discussion forum. It's Microsoft's next console. It's basically a discussion about what people think the 360's next reiteration will be, the 720, although I hate people that say that. I don't know. It's interesting because I guess I haven't even like thought about that. It's interesting because the 360 is the oldest of the three consoles, but it still seems to me like the best. It doesn't really need a change, you know?
Yeah, the fact that we just got that Xbox Next dashboard update kind of, I don't know, doesn't really make you think about a new one coming out because it feels like we just kind of got a new version of the Xbox 360.
All right.
Yeah, I agree.
But in the next one, what do you guys think it'll have? I mean, of course, people are saying, oh, it'll have motion control and virtual reality. But I don't know. I think the 360 is good at staying away from gimmicks, unlike certain consoles.
The games will be in your mind.
You know what? I hope not, because I just want to play it with a controller.
I think it might have a built-in kind of sensor bar type thing. I don't think... It won't be like the Wii, where the main play control is the motion controls, but I think it'll have the option built in for developers who want to make use of it.
I just don't know if that's necessary. I mean, obviously something I think... I think the next 360 will have a terabyte hard drive. Straight and simple. And you'll be buying a lot of your games on the marketplace. Real games.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm a fan of like virtually buying all of your games. On one hand, I guess it's good for, you know, like space control and that. You don't have to have boxes and boxes of retail games over, like, well, not hopefully not all for one system, but I mean collectively over the years you wouldn't have boxes and boxes. But at the same time, there have been so many things that have gone wrong with like DRM and stuff on people's Xboxes, especially the ones that red ringed and they had to send in, and then like they would get it back and lose all of their rights to all of their arcade games and stuff like that. I don't know if I would trust potentially $500-$600 on something that I could lose the rights to and not have a physical copy of.
Yeah, I'd always rather a physical copy, apart from the fact that it's safer, as was just mentioned. You know, you got the copy there so you don't lose the rights, but also because I'm limited for downloads. I only get, you know, so many per month and things, so I don't want to be spending my whole bandwidth allowance on buying a new game.
It's true. I can honestly see that perspective, but I also think that, I mean, the PS3, I believe, is already doing it already. I forget what games are up there, but there's, like, Burnout, I believe Burnout Paradise is up for download, and I think about that, and it just seems so much more convenient, you know? Faster load times, and if I want to bring my 360 to a friend's house, I don't have to bring 5 game cases. I could just bring my hard drive and have everything.
Well, yeah, but you really don't have to bring 5 game cases to begin with, man. Just put 5 CDs in a sleeve or something.
You know what I mean, though? I could have everything right where I want it.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but that's another problem. You have everything right where you want it, so say you drop that, what are you going to do? You can re-download all the games, but you're going to need an entire new hard drive system. Plus, if you do have a lot of games and they get close to like encroaching that 1 terabyte limit, you're going to have to download 1 terabyte worth of stuff from the server to replace it.
Yep. Bottles, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with the whole I prefer a physical copy when available.
I guess I'm alone. Now, what do you think about the Wii 2? Or whatever you want to call that again. I'm thinking about it, and I can't see Nintendo doing motion controls again. Or at least the same thing. I mean, wouldn't people be like, oh, again, we're doing this again?
I don't think the market that buys Nintendo products is thinking along those lines. I think they'll go, wow, it's the tennis game that I love and enjoy with better precision controls and HD graphics. I think that's all they're going to think. I don't think they'll catch on to it.
I think the three of us here grew up with Nintendo stuff, obviously, with Panda.
Three of us here?
Four. You did not?
No, you said
or four
three.
Of us, whatever. Yeah. You know, it just seems odd that, like, now it's the complete opposite. All the hardcore gamers ditch Nintendo because they blew us off, and then, well, I guess I'd say they're paying the price, except I don't think they're really paying any price.
Yeah, not really.
No, they're doing pretty well for themselves.
Yeah, but I mean, we were talking about it before, you know, off mic, about Pokemon Platinum. I mean, it's the same game, but you guys are buying it. I mean, Larry and Kelvin are. I don't know about you, Gray.
I'm not, don't worry.
I'm not buying it.
Oh, really?
I will. I'm still the loser that buys all the Pokemon games, don't worry.
Yeah, but
they'll,
like,
always get money.
Okay, I have... What Pokemon? I think the last game I bought, Diamond. I did. The last one. And I played it for 20 minutes, and I said, you know what? I think I know what's going to happen. I'm going to run into my rival, and he's going to be like, oh, I don't like you. And then we'll battle. It's the same thing.
reason I'm going, thinking about buying and probably will buy Platinum is when I bought Pearl, I actually played it for 200 and something hours and got every Pokemon into the Pokedex, with the exception of those event-only ones. And you know what? I'm never going to start that game again because I've put so much work into it, it's just going to sit there and look good. So, you know, Platinum is the only way for me to play that sort of game again without buying another copy of Pearl or Diamond, which I certainly don't want to do.
See, I just
makes myself feel better this way.
The last game, Pokemon game, I think I went through was Crystal. Maybe 100 hours on that, but like after that, I just got sick of it.
Nintendo did do one, well, not really a good thing, but a good thing for themselves, in the sense that when people think about like PS4 and the new Xbox 360, it's like, where can they really go from here? You know, the internet's close to flawless, the graphics are really good, the processors are clock in really high, and the hard drives are pretty large. So it's like, where do they really go with the console? At least Nintendo, since they really did only ship out something slightly more powerful than the GameCube, if not the same, like exactly as powerful as the GameCube, is they left a room for themselves to release a new console in the near future with, like, that doesn't just look similar to their old one. The next Wii can have, you know, 1080p and stuff like that. It can have a huge hard drive, which it wasn't even a hard drive for the original Wii, so they left a lot of room for expansion.
Yeah, but if the positive, you could say that it sucked. I mean, really, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's I'm just saying that's the positive spin on the negative situation.
Yeah. Bottles, how do you feel about the Wii? I'm never sure with you.
I was a pretty big fan of it at first, but I haven't been using it quite as much.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I got a Wii at launch, and, you know, I couldn't play it till Christmas or whatever, but I got it. And I was like, you know, I love my Wii bowling and all that stuff, but, I mean, I can't think of many games that I enjoyed playing. I mean, Brawl, we can get into that whole thing. I mean, Brawl was the same as Melee, and then Super Mario Galaxy was just boring. I beat it, but I was bored the whole time. It was too easy. So, that's the thing with the Wii. I mean, I think I played the Wii a couple weeks ago, for whatever reason, and I was playing Wii Sports. It's the only thing people really do with it.
Yeah. I mean, I've had enjoyable experiences on it. It's not like everything has been a complete failure so far. Like, Metroid Prime 3 wasn't that bad. Galaxy only took a day to beat, but that day, I guess, was mildly entertaining. Brawl, I still play occasionally. And I played some of the more obscure games, like this Marble Mania type game, and Elebits and stuff. And like, they're nothing you get deep into, but I guess for the times that you're playing it, it's mildly entertaining.
There was Raving Rabbids. That was entertaining, but it's like WarioWare. I mean, I love WarioWare to death, but it's mini games.
It feels kind of like a ripoff when you play the game standalone. Like when I play that Raving Rabbids game, or I play Elebits or something, the games themselves seem enjoyable. But when you go from playing something like that to playing something on like the Xbox 360 or the PS3, you start to get this feeling like, all right, maybe I paid too much for this game on the Wii. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you, but if I, let's say I'm looking at Guitar Hero and I want to decide whether I'm buying it for the 360 or the Wii, I'm always going to choose the 360. It's got the marketplace, it's got achievements, which, despite what people say, are fun. I mean, really.
Well, it gives you something to aim for. You know, you have that sense of accomplishment when you do get one, if assuming it's actually a decent difficulty, not just
Banjo-Tooie.
Two steps and, yeah, Banjo-Tooie.
Well,
sorry, go on.
No, it's fine. I mean, hopefully it's successful in the future, whenever it does come out. Alright, moving on. The What Are You Playing segment. Bottles?
I've been just playing Nuts and Bolts more. I'm almost up to 100 hours in that game.
Yeah, I feel ashamed. I still have not unlocked all the achievements, even the... I mean, I don't have all the jiggies yet. I just don't have the energy.
I don't have the last trophy I need for the god damn saucer of peril challenge.
Oh, I don't get me started on that thing.
It's so frustrating when you're trying to beat it, but I'll tell you what, once you beat it, it's a good feeling. It's that's actually like the most challenging challenge in the game, and yeah, you beat it and you just feel on top of the world. I felt on top of the world. Maybe I'm just a bit of a weirdo, but it was good.
After like 10 trials of getting, because I would try and do the same pattern every time, so I would get really close. I'd have like 418, 423, 420, 422, 415, and it was just so frustrating that you need 425, and I was always like 2-3 targets away.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is it frustrating or challenging? Because I'm trying to think, there was one other challenge, the one where your controls are reversed, and every time I play it, I'm like, wow, this is tough, but it's not that it's fun difficult. Like, I'm thinking, you remember the original Banjo-Kazooie with the fans? I mean, that was challenging, but it was also entertaining every time you tried to go through that, and you'd lose your notes every time. But, like, some of the challenges in this game are just annoying. And then, you know, most of them are ridiculously easy.
Personally, I think stuff like control reversing is just, like, fake difficulty.
Right.
I didn't think that the control reversing was that bad, personally. I think Rare's been kind of building us up to be reverse control pros at this point with that like toxic water level in Donkey Kong Country 3 and stuff like that. I almost expect reverse controls at some point in time in their games now.
Yeah. All right, Calvin?
I've just finished playing The Force Unleashed for the Xbox 360. Because despite the fact that, you know, the Wii has the motion controls, I just wanted the downloadable content option there. I found it to be a, you know, really good game, a really good Star Wars story based game. You know, it's got a good Star Wars feel to it. Thing I wasn't happy with was the downloadable content, which was one of the reasons why I bought it for the Xbox 360. I don't know how much you guys know about it, but with the downloadable content, you know, they hyped it up saying that the apprentice would learn more about his father. And so I'm expecting, you know, extended story, thinking, great, there's one cutscene at the start, there's one cutscene at the end, nothing explains anything about anybody, and it's a 15-minute playthrough, and I've just paid 800 points or whatever it was for it, so I was a bit disappointed.
Wow.
How long did that come out after the game?
I'm not really sure. I know I just bought it last week or week before.
Like, was it suspiciously after? Like, they could have put it in the retail game, probably.
I thought that game's been out for a while.
Oh, okay.
I'm not entirely sure when it came out, but yeah. Right, well, thanks, Gray.
I've been playing Super Smash Bros. Melee for the GameCube, as usual.
So what do you still do? I mean, come on.
I don't know. Well, I've been trying to main Mewtwo for a while now, because Mewtwo's just pretty much off on the game compared to the rest of the roster. So it's just amusing trying to, I don't know. There's a club at my college, so like I don't play Melee by myself. We'll play from like 8 p.m. until 5 a.m. or something every Friday. We actually have assigned rooms for it and stuff. So it's kind of like a gaming slash social activity. It's more about the people you play with than just playing in general.
It's how you know you're going to a nerd school when they have a Melee club.
Yeah, and they have other game clubs too. It's not like there's only a Melee club, but that's just the division.
I think it tells me there isn't a Banjo club.
No, but at Smash Club, actually, I bring my GameCube, but I don't bring my copy of Melee. So what's in my GameCube by default is the GBA player. So we've played Banjo-Pilot a couple times.
Oh, Banjo-Pilot. That's one of those games that never really took off.
Yeah, and I realize that people that don't know anything about Banjo-Pilot get very confused when it starts. Like, because there's no walls or anything, so you're basically just flying over colored ground. And people are like, what am I supposed to run into? Where do I go in that? if you pick bottles, you win every time because he has like 5 stars for everything.
Well, the game I'm going to talk about, well, I have a couple that I've been playing, but I think the one that is most notable is Peggle. And I know, Gray, when you were like, Peggle's out, oh my god, I was like, what the hell is Peggle? And I'm not going to lie to you, I played one level in the demo and I immediately bought it. That game, it's on the Xbox Live Arcade, it's 800 points, and, you know, it is just so addictive. I wish I had more time to play because I'd be playing it constantly.
Nice try, but you're not getting me, you heathens.
No, you need to buy it. Everybody does.
Yeah, Mandy has it too.
You know who else had it? Roystein, and I haven't even talked to him in years. But
oh, Roystein has almost all. Like he bought almost as many Xbox Live Arcade games as I did.
I didn't even know that was possible. Are there any you don't have at this point?
I didn't buy a lot of them. Every game that came out before September of last year, I have, but I haven't bought all that many since then. I think the only ones I've bought since then was that Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, Peggle, and The Maw.
Yeah, how is The Maw?
It's somewhat enjoyable, but if you think about it, like, unbiased, not as you're playing, like you just actually analyze the game, it is the simplest and like I don't really know how to explain it, but
okay. Right.
You're gonna edit out some of these long delays, by the way.
No, I'm gonna actually make you look stupid. It's fine.
That's alright, fine. We're gonna put in the 25 times that you couldn't pronounce George Kirkhope's name.
Great.
Well, we're leaving in the last one, so don't worry about that.
All right.
Anyway.
But yeah, it's fun for like 10 minutes, but when you realize that it's not going anywhere, like, because at the beginning you think, oh, this is just the intro level, that's why it's so easy, blah, blah, blah. But when you realize, no, that's just how the game is, that's just how this game's going to be, you kind of like lose morale to play.
Yeah. Well, the other game I've been playing, is Halo Wars, and I got that a couple weeks ago. I got it on release, the limited edition. I've got to say, you know, I enjoyed it, but like, I it's odd. Have you ever played a game and you just go back and you try and play it and you just don't enjoy it that much? I don't know. I guess, well, I'm not going to get into nuts and bolts, but it's pretty much what happened with me. I started playing it enjoyable, but I just can't bring myself to go back and play it more. It's tedious, you know? It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
Did you guys play the demo at all?
Nope.
No. I guess I'm the only Halo fan here. So, you know, I've got it, and I guess I should eventually go back and beat it and all that stuff, but I don't know. The demo made me very excited, but now I'm a little disappointed with it.
I'm just not an RTS fan, personally. It's nothing against Halo Wars in general. Like, if Halo Wars was the fourth Halo and it was an FPS, I'd probably buy it, but I don't know.
And the controls are great. I mean, I know that's something people have been talking about a lot, but controls have been really great for it, surprisingly good. It's just, campaign's kind of boring. Okay, that's actually going to do it for today's episode. I'd like to thank Larry, Calvin, and Rich for joining me on the podcast today. Thanks all of you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this podcast, please post a great review for us up on iTunes, or just show us your love in the forums. This recording may not be redistributed or broadcast without the express consent of the Rare Witch Project, and it is intended for private use only. Copyright 2009. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
I think we should have different segments on the real show that are just out of the blue. Something like, guess who's making the clown honking noise? One of us just has at it, like we're squeezing a red nose or something, and then I guess players at home get to type in who they think did it.
Well, that's the other idea. All right, I guess stop. This is the official after show or something. So if you're listening to this now, I guess that means you waded through the music or something. I really enjoy your idea of the who's making that clown honking noise idea. I think we should go with it.
We can't let GM2K play. That would be way too obvious. It would be an Australian honking.
Honk, honk, mate.
All right, everyone who's listening right now, who was that?
I wonder who that was. Also, well, whatever. Yeah, so I guess we were talking about before, this show is not going to be as boring in the future. So, people listening, don't worry.
Although,
Bottles is apparently sick.
At this point.
Very.
Who really, if you're already an hour into it and you're listening for the after show, how boring could you have thought it was?
Well, alright, try saying Kirkhoff. I doubt you guys could.
Kirkhope?
Kirkhope.
Kirkhoff?
Kirkhope.
It's just me. Next time we bring him up, you guys are saying the word.
Grant Kirkhoff. That's what. How I don't care what you call him. I'm calling him Kirk Hasselhoff from now on.
I don't know. I'm debating. Should I just leave that part in?
I think you should use like the first one or the second one. I think you butchered it more the third time, personally. Like at first, you were kind of close. You were like Kirk Hop or something. Like you had at least the P sound in there. But when you call him Kirkhoff, there's not even an F. Where'd you get that from?
Are you trying to subtly insult him?
Yeah.
You Kirk off.
Yeah. Get Kirk off the U.S. map.
Apparently we've been approved for iTunes. So that's good. We're official.
Wow, iTunes approved us without even an audio sample?
I guess so. Doesn't that seem odd?
First podcast, death metal.
Nobody else is going to know what that means exactly. The sample, I guess I'll explain it, the RSS feed that we've been using for the past week or whatever to sample the show had some very interesting music. I guess I'll throw some in after this.
Oh yeah, forgot about that.
Yeah.
So they basically approved of copyright infringement?
They did, I guess. I don't know. I mean, does anybody really want to like claim that that's their music?
I actually didn't hear the tracks. I just heard the MySpace page that ICE redirected to afterwards.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much the same thing. Well, I guess that's the unofficial after show.
Our after show is like 12 seconds.
Our after show can be as long or short as we want.
Our after show should be a compilation. Like, we should just talk for a while, and then you edit out anything where we didn't laugh. Yeah, like right then. That wasn't a joke. Why the hell would you laugh?
I don't know.
You should, including this part and some of the parts before, like, you should just go through, start at the end of the actual podcast. And then just cycle through and find, like, I don't know, the best segments or something. Because I can't imagine just doing, like, a raw post. Because we're never that consistent.
What do you mean? I thought that was fantastic. Okay. Yeah, I guess not. Okay. All right. Our number three news story this week, Big Huge Games is closing down. The game developer Big Huge Games will close within 60 days if THQ cannot find a buyer in the near future. This is according to Kotaku. This is interesting, of course, because the Rare composer Grant Kirkhoff... God damn it, that's not how you say his name, is it?
I doubt it.
All right. How do you say his name?
I'd pronounce it Kirkhoff, but... Yeah.
It seems pretty phonetic, Andre. Kirkhope.
Right, Kerfault. Well, it's confusing. There are a lot of K's. Let me try that again. All right. 14. Yeah, this is confusing. I have to write down times. Okay. 3, 2, 1. We'll start off with the news this week. Our number three news story, game developer Big Huge Games is closing down within 60 days if THQ cannot find a buyer in the near future, according to Kotaku. This is interesting because Banjo composer, amongst many other games, Grant Kirkhoff... God damn it, I can't say that name.
Grant Kirkhasselhoff.
Alright, I'm trying it one more time, and if I screw it up again, I'm just going to say, fuck it, and I'll let it run. Alright, let me try that again. 3, 2, 1.